All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Move podcast, talking about the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift. Of course, this is the second year of the relaunch of this about damn time Tour de France Femme avec Zwift. I'm joined by Mari Holden, who's coming in hot, driving from Colorado Springs to somewhere in California. We don't need to ask, but laying over in St. George. I thought it was cute. You were pulled into town. I was like, why can't I get a hotel? Well, 70.3 half Ironman World Championships. Place is crowded.
Mm-hmm. So, Very crowded, full of triathletes.
and of course, our fearless leader, Allison Tedrick. I used to, never mind. I should finish that because that did sound really weird. Allie, I told you earlier, I was, of course, your Instagram, your pictures always pop up. I saw your picture yesterday. I was like, damn, girl's been training. Like, what is going on?
It's training for life, man. Keeping up with you.
the sanity, just the sanity. Of course, as we just did the men's show, they announced yesterday, the women's race and the men's race. It of course is always more or less a surprise until a day or two before. I think it's one of the things that makes both of these, any tour unique, is that they just don't know. Most people think that it's oftentimes it's just the same course and you just repeat and repeat and repeat, but no, obviously each and every race is unique, as they are. Today's show brought to you by Zwift. As I said on the men's show, we got 9 inches of snow the other night. I woke up and I, y'all know, I don't love snow, man. And I was like, fire up the pain cave. I got the pain cave so dialed this year. I've actually been Zwifting earlier than I have in the past. I'm going to wrap this show, sprint home, fire up the pain cave again. Of course, we did We Do Wednesday this week. I'm going to do Suffer Sunday on Sunday. It's been a game changer for me. It took a minute for me to convert, but I'm fully converted to this Zwift experience. Chatting with y'all on there and messaging and giving thumbs up. Check this out. 15,000 of you have done our WeDo rides this year, over 500,000 miles ridden. 78% of the people who start the WeDo Wednesday actually finish it. So this isn't one of those hammer sessions that you can't finish. Zwift makes indoor training fun. Head on over to Zwift.com for a free trial and find out more. Also today brought to you by Roka. Love these folks. My crew, Rob down there, all his people down in Austin, Texas, have changed the game when it comes to eyewear. The best sunglasses, the best lenses, the best fit. They're super light. And then on the prescription side, you know, they keep me stocked on the readers. If I don't have my readers, I'm completely useless. That's a whole nother podcast. They have reinvented the game. Unbelievably lightweight and also no slip, which I think is great. Head on over to Roka. That's ROKA.com. That's Roka, ROKA.com. Enter the code THEMOVE at checkout for 20% off. All right, ladies, general thoughts. And Mari, I'll start with you, but as we did in the other show, just high level thoughts. Of course, again, just like last year, eight stages again. You know, I think a lot of people asked, was that a trial run? Do we dip a toe? Do we let these badass women, God forbid, do 10 days, 14 days? Again, 8 days, but high level thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think that the 8 days is fine. It's a good distance. They've added the time trial and another mountaintop finish with an iconic climb with Tourmalet. I feel like it's a great course this year. I love the way it heads south. And I love that. I know there's debate about it, but I love that it ends in a time trial. I think that makes it really exciting. I think the course is awesome. And I love that they have separated the start out a little bit from the men, but keeping it connected in name and spirit.
Yeah. And maybe that was good. I think, you know, as they restarted the women's tour last year, I think it was good to tie it to the men's race. So here we go, sort of tip of the cap. Now y'all go be the beast that you are. And the race didn't disappoint, right? I mean, it was as exciting as the men's race as we lived through it with everybody. Allie, what are your high level thoughts?
Level thoughts are, I agree. So it's 8 days, July 23rd through the 30th. And it is building a foundation where it's a unique event, a standalone event. It is the Tour de France. And it is crossing some super iconic stages. So we could talk about this in a little bit. One incredible mountaintop finish, which is the Col du Tourmalet. In that though, I don't know if you guys knew this, is one of, I mean, it's almost reaching, it's close to 100 times the Tour de France has gone over the Tourmalet. If I say it wrong, please correct me, somebody, because no, somebody's on the internet going to correct me.
Vivian, yeah, they
but
will.
It's over 100 times going over this, but only three times since 1910, you know, we've been going over this climb, but only three times has it ever finished in the Tour. And look at this. We're, two years in having this really iconic historical mountaintop finish. And not only that, in that stage, you have another huge mountain to cross as well. So,
Ben.
Yep.
And that was one of my, I don't want to, you know, I said on the other show, look, it's their race. They can pick whatever course they want, right? We could ride around Paris for 20 days and pick a winner, or have a winner. But you know, I was, if I had to be any slightly disappointed with the men's race, is that there is no Alpe d'Huez, there is no Tourmalet, there is no Ventoux. So to have a finish, and I did not know that it was that rare to actually finish on top, but to have a Tourmalet finish for the women's race, I think makes it even stand out more. By the way, the Tourmalet is an interesting climb. It's in the Col d'Aspin is no walk in the park before. And that is a stage that is incredibly short. We know what that means for the dynamics of the race and the intensity of the race, but the Tourmalet is a long climb. I mean, when that thing starts, you just settle in and go, all right, I'm going to be here for a while. It is relentless. It is long. It drags up. The weather can be wildly unpredictable. It's a beast.
Yeah. I looked it up. It's so the current QOM is a rider that Mari and I know quite well, Emma Pooley. So she's just a phenomenal Olympic medalist and champion herself, but she's just a little shy of 1 hour up the climb. So it's 59 minutes, 45 is the current QOM up that, but it gets over 2000 meters, which is quite high. But before that, you're still doing 17K over the Col d'Aspin, which is 17K at 7.3% before you hit 12K. No, 17K, sorry. I'm going to correct that. 17K at 7.3 is Tourmalet. So that's very difficult. But before that's 12K at 6.5, which is Col d'Aspin. That's a hard day.
On a short day, right? And many people hear, oh, it's a short day. But those days, especially with two big climbs like that, it just compounds the intensity and the tactics, all of it. It just makes everything a lot harder. Because Mari touched on this about, you know, there was some, you know, it's tough to finish a race with a time trial, right? In the men's tour hasn't, you know, of course they did that in 1989 with Greg LeMond having just this incredible finish and winning the tour, and beating a Frenchman in the great Laurent Fignon. After that, they said, okay, we're not going to do that again. Right. That didn't work out too good for us. So there is always going to be controversy around finishing a tour with a time trial. And this is no exception. What do you think of that?
I think Ellen Van Dyke is just sharpening those razor blades right now. I think the GC is going to be decided the day before, with this very mountainous and iconic finish, but it gives a chance to other riders. And that's what made the 8 days we watched last year. Or technically still this year, but so dynamic was there was different places and different stages for different riders. And I love the idea of finishing in the time trial, like personally coming from a time trial background. And that was my specialty as well as Mari's. So of course we're both like, yeah, but I don't think it's going to decide the overall winner, but you're looking at top 10 placings that I think make a severe difference and super exciting to watch. And, have you ever done a TT in Po?
Don't push me on this stuff. Cause I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Allie, come on. I don't remember any of these things. I remember seven Parises, but you're like Johan. He's like, don't you remember we went over this climb in 2002 and a half? And I was like, okay, whatever you say, man.
So it seems like this town though is very famous for its time trials, and it's a 22K TT. So that's actually the same distance as the men, with their time trial on the tour, which you sure talked about previously. And I remember watching Alaphilippe like defending his jersey a couple of years ago, which was super cool to see. And it's a gorgeous town.
And why not have it if it is controversial or if there is some debate around it, why not, it is different. I mean, it makes the race special as you know, and as the Tour de France fam of ex-Zwift goes down this road, I mean, have that be unique. You know, this is the way we're going to roll.
I mean, the other thing is that maybe if Annemiek's riding the way she's been riding, maybe the race is decided at the top of the Tourmalet. But the thing is that, you know, there's going to be close races behind her, I think, you know, for the podium and everything else. And that makes it exciting. And for someone to get a win in the Tour de France in a time trial, that's pretty impressive. I think another person who might be interesting is if Chloe Dygert comes back too, could be an interesting time trial for her too. I'd love to see an American win on that time trial.
Wow. And not, I mean, things like Team GC, I mean, it starts to, you know, everybody's going to have to race.
Yes. So I think when we look at this 8 days, it looks very like bold and diverse, harder than it looks on paper. I'm going to predict there's only two sprint stages, if that. You got mountaintop, you got time trial, and then the rest are either breakaway or kind of just GC head to head. So it's exciting to me to see it just build into something that's going to make that green jersey actually quite difficult. So some of these finishes are like the Sagan type finishes that they've, you know, it's these courses that are super lumpy. So I kind of geeked out a little bit on where this is. And Lance, I know you say you're not going to remember, but you did know it's Massif Central. So it's South Central France, which is about 15% of France, is this volcanic region. So, this is the big thing, you know, where we're there's, you know, these domes like the Puy de Dôme, which is, you know, big with the men finish up, which is close to cars normally. And we're going to do this foothills as our first stage. So that's just chunky, you know, it's just these big lava kind of like domes you're going around in those foothills. So, I mean, it's hard every day.
The pavement's terrible, right? Yeah. I mean, I know that sounds just people like what it is just a different, this is very slow pavement. So you do throw in these undulating roads, but then you have this, you just have slow pavement, this chip seal that they have. It's a very rural part of France that doesn't get a lot of traffic. There's a, you know, it's the Massif Central. I mean, Clermont-Ferrand is in the middle of nowhere. And so the roads are just, they just grind on you.
Yeah. It's
and the weather is going to be really hot down there too. I mean,
For sure. I mean, very,
it's going to be nuts. Yeah.
I had that in my notes, Mari, is the heat is going to definitely play a factor. So where we're starting, it's just known for Michelin tires, by the way, bizarrely, it's their headquarters. I didn't know that, but I was looking it up and like seeds and cheese, but the men will be going through there. So I think the pro of not starting with that pure fin, like sprint stage, which we watched Wiebe's win last year in the Champs-Élysées, is that we get to go into other areas and go into the Pyrenees. So I think it's really exciting because we are kind of, I felt stuck in that northern France because we started in Champs-Élysées last year. So this year, without huge transfers, we're able to go through and have these really iconic Pyrenees stages, which have created the Tour de France in a way, in so many ways. Like, so it's history.
Before we talk about,
it's going to keep people really.
No, go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say it's going to keep people really interested after the men's tour ends to head into a different region and start seeing some different types of racing. So that's one of the connections between the two, to kind of highlight different areas of France, which I think is awesome. Yeah. So I think that'll be
before
awesome.
Before we talk about the favorites, and of course we have to spend most of this time talking about Annemiek van Vleuten. As she will start this tour in the rainbow jersey. I'm still thinking back to how she won that world championships. That was such a fucking black belt move. I mean, that was straight ninja. I mean, I don't know. Anyways, I mean, and she deserved it, but, we'll spend a lot of time talking about her and her, of course, her last year of her career. But before we do, today's show also brought to you by Athletic Greens. Of course, I never leave home without them, right? I don't know what commercial that was back in the day, but I just don't. These are my travel packs. I leave them here at the office. This is my free dose of vitamin D they gave me. This thing has really changed the game for me. I'm religious about it. I take 1 to 2 packs a day. They have reinvented the formula, I think 50 plus times, just totally optimizing this. Currently has 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics and adaptogens to help you start your day off just right. and all for less than $3 a day. And you don't have to take it from me. All the other smart, the much, much smarter people, which isn't hard to do than me, guys like Andrew Huberman, Peter Attia, they will tell you, if you had to do one thing to change the game, it's Athletic Greens. Let's make it easy. Head on over to athleticgreens.com/themove. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/themove. Plus, they give you 5 free travel packs, look like this, and some free vitamin D, which over half the world is deficient in. Last one of the day, I had a fun little thing on this one for the Men Show. I don't know if I can do it again. I was doing the Vanilla Ice. Ice, ice barrel. I think we should get you and Blaze in the ice barrel together.
Challenge accepted. You know what happens in cold water, but whatever. In.
Listen, this is a kid friendly show. Don't say stuff like you went straight there. I keep seeing the ice barrel pop up on my Instagram. We know it's well documented and proven what cold exposure does to you for clarity, for recovery, for performance. It is a game changer. We've all seen Wim Hof, the phenomenon of Wim Hof. This is all based on that. It just doesn't lie. The science doesn't lie. The cool thing about the ice barrel, instead of sitting in your bathtub with a bunch of ice, this allows you to sit upright so you can improve your breathing and actually get through it. It is not pleasant for some people, but the barrel makes it a lot easier. Head on over to icebarrel.com. Use the code THEMOVE. Actually, sorry, back up. That's icebarrel.com/THEMOVE. Use the code THEMOVE. That gets you $125 off the ice barrel. And for any of y'all are interested, probably for members only, we will send you the picture of Allie and Blaze in the ice barrel together.
Members only.
And for an even extra thing, Mari and what's that dog's name again that wears the lampshade on its head?
Beetle.
Oh, Beetle. Yeah. Mari and Beetle will be in an ice barrel too.
Awesome. Wow. He won't like that very much.
No, he won't. All right, let's talk about
a little too comfortable in that ice barrel. I'm not gonna lie. Who
does? George did.
Yeah, that's who you're following on Instagram in the ice barrel. I know that.
Yeah. All right. You hate to sort of declare a winner before the race starts, but I mean, Annemiek is that good, right? I don't know. I've been there as you get older, and it's just your last year. Of course, it ended up not being my last year, but it's easy to phone it in. It's easy to say, I've won all these things. Let me go out and just cruise around France. But I have a feeling that her mindset is, this is my last year. I am in the rainbow jersey and I'm leaving my career in a yellow jersey. Am I right?
I 100% agree with you. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, you would know better than anyone, but that kind of pressure is big. I mean, she's got to be putting a huge amount of pressure on herself for this next year, even though, you know, she's won everything, but wanting to go out on top like that puts a lot of stress on a person. And, you know, it's obviously hers to lose next year.
Does she, it is, and y'all will know this, I don't, but it is after the tour next summer, of course, what did you say? July 30th. Does she, is that her last race, or is she going to finish out the season, do the world championships, or is this it?
She hasn't declared that. But I assume, knowing her, she would finish out the season, just because that woman loves to race and she loves to just throw her hat in the ring. So, and she is saying that, you know, this, she is retiring because people are questioning. She's in the best form of her life and she's agreeing, and we all agree with her. No one's arguing that. But there was an interesting, in the inaugural Tour de Romandy, a couple weeks ago. So I've been telling you to watch Ashley Moulman-Paso, and Ashley actually dropped on a meet on this last climb and won the overall. And we haven't seen that in a while. So we have people, Ashley's moving teams. But I think we should still look at her. She's more in a development role. She announced she's going to retire and leave SD Works. And now she's joining another team and doing more development and mentoring. But looking at her form a few weeks ago at Tour de Romandy, she just got a little confident. So she may lack the team support, but the confidence, And then Damy Vollering went up against Annemiek in the Vuelta challenge and came up second again, as we've seen. But, you know, there's an interesting thing too. I mean, the team is going to change. So it's looking for the strength. So they're all shuffling around. We can still look for those kind of pure climbers, but that's who I see, but, you know, as our hitters really.
Moving to a more development kind of team, you know, it probably takes some of the pressure off her that she had at SD Works, or maybe the frustration she might have had in wanting to get some results for herself. I think sometimes those kinds of changes can inspire someone, and maybe she'll ride to some really huge results next year. But I still think Annemiek, she's just a level above, and it would take something really, you know, big for her not to. I mean, she's just going to have to defend this, and I don't know why it would have to be something big that would stop that.
Well, we're talking about sport, okay? Look, if you're a betting person, you make one bet, but people have these young riders transform into slightly older riders and experienced riders, and they change. They change over the off season. They change through the preseason, the early season races, and who knows? And that's what it's going to take, though. I think we can all agree it's going to have somebody that has a transformational year to challenge her. Mm-hmm. She's that, you know, thus far has been that much better, and on a course. And we've talked about the time trial. We talked about the Tourmalet, but this is not an easy Tour de France Femme of Zwift. It's tough. So it's going to take somebody that doesn't just, you know, go from the second floor to the third floor. They're going to have to jump from sort of the third to the sixth floor and really transform themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting when you look at like Veronica Ewers and Kristen Faulkner. Those two made a huge transformation in 1 year to where they're top 10 in the tour. If they make another jump again this next year, you never know where they could be, maybe fighting for the podium, you know. But I think it would be hard to, I think you're right, it would take a huge transformation as someone who's close, which would be an Ashley Moulman-Paso or something like that, who all of a sudden gets inspired and, you know, is able to take it to another level.
Refresh my memory. Annemiek struggles in the heat. Is that the word on the street, or am I making that up?
Well, she's very happy there's not grab in the,
yeah,
she did say that. She was like, thank heavens, no grab.
Yeah.
AKA in the 2023 gravel edition. And I'm like, oh man, I like the grab. Agreed. I think she does. Well, I think we were just noticing, I don't think she's ever verbally said it. I could be wrong, but I think we were noticing she was struggling in the heat, in last year's tour. However, due to probably that digestion issues going on and literally pulling over on the side of the road to do a Tommy doo-doo, like that could be some of the reason that happened.
But I that's the X factor, I think, for me. If it's easy to generalize and say, okay, you know, women and men from the northern countries, Belgium, Holland, Scandinavia, et cetera, are not used to temperatures. I mean, we're going to see temperatures approaching 40 degrees Celsius every single day, every day. And that doesn't just impact the race. You're hot all the time. You're hot in the team bus. You're hot in the team car. You're hot in the hotel. You're hot at dinner. It's just this constant. I mean, if I'm just throwing it out there, you know, time will tell, but it is going to be a scorcher.
Yeah. And those hotels often do not have air conditioning, as you know.
Right. No, I know.
The heat is definitely a factor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All the way. And you know, the whole time. All right. Any other highlights before we bounce?
Too, depending on the time of the month. Oops, sorry.
No. I have a feeling we're really going to want to hear this based on that last little sound clip at the end there.
No, I was just saying that I think that hormonally it's a little bit challenging sometimes for women too, dealing with heat. You can deal with heat better at different points in your cycle. So, you know, who knows what kind of factors get thrown in there or where someone's, you know, is in their cycle that might affect them in the heat more.
Damn. Should I just
hang up? Women have a lot of things they need to consider.
I mean, I am learning a whole lot every single day about women's racing and certainly the women's tour. I'm out on this one. I don't, but that is literally the coolest thing you've ever said, Mari. Cause I think it's,
well, thank you.
We're hearing, and we, of course, at Next Ventures, we invest a ton in this space and, you know, whether it's the Oura Ring that has really doubled down on women's health and talking about these things that are, I think that is so fucking edgy and so fucking cool what you're just talking about, because we're talking about X's and O's. We're talking about climbs and time trials and heat and hotels and who's the favorite and who's not. Meanwhile, these are real issues, right? And I think ripping that Band-Aid off was fucking dope. I love that.
Well, thank you. And when you were talking about Oura, I mean, I think that, you know, it's very interesting to watch your cycle on an Oura ring, because you can tell your temperature gets higher more in your premenstrual phase, and then it comes back down right when you get into your, you know, period and stuff. It's really interesting, and you can watch your temperature change, and you can watch all these things real time now. I mean, weren't able to do that when we were racing, but now you can see it. And so I think that kind of stuff is amazing, and it really can affect results and how you react to being in the heat, or what other precautions you might need to take, you know, to figure it out. But all these kinds of factors really help us dial in, you know, performance now.
Amazing. By the way,
I've been trying to get that Gucci Oura ring, and it's been the most difficult experience of my life.
You know what? They just released another batch. Just because.
Oh, the Gucci.
I put my name on the list to get that thing. I want it so badly. I called every single store, and getting in touch with Gucci is very difficult.
Well, listen.
I'm watching Netflix on that. Maybe don't. Just kidding.
After that straight mic drop you just had the last 5 minutes. Turns out I happen to know some people there, so I'm seriously still speechless, and in the most amazing way. I'm gonna get off this podcast, I promise you. I'll be making some calls after that mic drop. I love it. Like, this is what makes the show, I think, so much different and so special. Like, it's just, we just call it the way it is. And that, I did not wake up today and expect to be talking about this, but
yeah,
here we are, baby.
I thought
we went out on the edge, you know, and Allie was like, oh, our poor ovaries. I mean, Allie, that ain't shit compared to what Mari just dropped.
Hey, I'm sorry. So I guess my closing just on this is, it's very exciting, right? We're looking at the course reveal for the Tour de France Flam of X-Swift. And for those listening that aren't watching us on YouTube, I am like rocking the cap. It says, watch the FOM that you rock during, the show a few times. And I think what is important though, is we had so much stoke and so much momentum on this first year, this big comeback year with this real race, with real coverage, that it is equally critical to keep, you know, hashtag watch the FOM, hashtag, you know, everything, you know, is just to keep it hugely successful and year on year to keep building this and this momentum. And so I know you did an ad for Zwift. This is not an ad for Zwift by any means, but they have a 4-year investment in this.
Right.
And it's substantial to help, you know, work with ASO and to be the title sponsor, of the Tour de France Flam of X-Swift. So I think it's just about keeping this momentum going and keep following, keep watching. This podcast has been hugely successful, Lance, and I just applaud you and the team and everyone behind the scenes that don't have their, you know, they're not on the podcast, but they're helping us do this and just to, you know, bring women's cycling to life, and to keep supporting that, and how pivotal moment this is and continues to be. And so it's not just about 1 year, it's about multiple years where it's a sustainable, back to that visibility is viability. It's just, this is a powerful moment.
We call that forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, forever. You guys have been climbing this like turmoil since, you know, 1910, you know,
yeah. Here I think we are, the women did it in 93.
You climbed it.
The women, I think, did it in 93. I think it was the Col d'Aspin and Tourmalet, but
amazing.
Obviously it's been a long time.
Yeah. Too long. All right. Well, that's a wrap. This has been a great, boy, we went in some corners I didn't think we'd go in, but I loved it. And, it is forever. I think that's how I have had conversations with some folks at ASO. And this was after we wrapped the show last year. I don't know if I shared this with y'all, but with some of the higher ups there, when I left the set that day and flew to Europe, And so I had some time with them. They were blown away with how successful and how popular this race was. There's no more, you know, let's hope fours and maybes. I mean, I believe it. This is forever. So let's fucking go.
Let's do it. And with that.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. Ladies, thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye.